unless God would give you a spirit to get off your rear end and to be diligent in the faith. I don't want to do all that stuff. I don't want to do anything. I just want to believe and be saved. It's not given you to believe and be saved. It's given you on behalf of Christ to believe not only, but also to suffer. And if you can't take both, you can't have either. Verse 14, But when you shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, for in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. Now again, you want to know what the sign of the end is? He says, oh, wars and rumors of wars, when you see those, don't be troubled. But, when you shall see this, then it is coming near. When you see the abomination of desolation. And what is the abomination of desolation? The way I interpret it, without going to Daniel, because Daniel talks about the abomination of desolation, and he speaks of it in cryptic terms. So what is it? Standing where it ought not. The Apostle Paul clarifies this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm going to read that. Because, you have to understand what the abomination of desolation is going to be. To merely go to Daniel, you're just going to get the abomination of desolation. And you'll be in the dark as much as ever. This is what it refers to. Verse 2, chapter 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. I want to talk to you about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to beseech you regarding that coming. And also regarding our being gathered to him. Our meaning we of the church. We the believers in Christ. Not some other mythical tribulation saints or some nonsense. No, us. We, the Thessalonians. And the Thessalonians and Paul are dead. So it means the dead in Christ as well. Being gathered together unto him. That's the resurrection. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. That the day of Christ is at hand. I don't want you to think that the day of Christ and our gathering together to him is at hand by any of my letters, by a misinterpretation thereof, or by word or anything. Don't be shaken in your mind thinking the time of Christ is at hand. And this is what everyone teaches. Jesus could come at any time. At any time. He's at hand. He could come. He could come right now. He could come in 10 minutes. Jesus, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ can't come today. He can't come tomorrow. He can't even come next week. He can't even come next month. He can't even come next month. And he's probably years from coming. Jesus Christ cannot return at any moment. No. Don't be troubled. Don't be shaking your mind as if the day of Christ could come at any time. It can't. It can't come just any time. It has to come after the signs. There are signs given in the book of Revelation. There are signs given in the writings of Paul and the other apostles. There are signs given in the gospels of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is certainly not going to return until after those signs are fulfilled. So don't be mistaken. Don't be shaken in your mind. Don't let any false deceiver, wicked teacher tell you otherwise. Any man void of understanding, void of the spirit, void of the truth, they tell you otherwise. It were better for them that a millstone were hanged about their neck than that they should say such things. And it shall be more tolerable for the men of Jesus Christ's generation than it shall be for them. Let no man deceive you by any means. Don't, there is no means by scripture, by word, by thought, by logic. There's no means by which you should let anyone deceive you as to this matter, as to the coming of Jesus Christ and us being gathered together to him. That is the subject. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And that's not all, okay? There's also seven whole trumpets that have to sound. Signs, fire from the sky, mountains being cast into the sea, stars falling from heaven, the angels cast out, etc., etc. There's got to be a lot of things going on before that day comes. But principally, these two things are the most important. Falling away. You know, in many ways you could say it's already happened, but there's going to be a more wholesale falling away, a more cut and dry. Because right now, what distinguishes my Christianity from other Christianity? To the outside world, it's all one. To the outside world, we're just a bunch of bickering, idiotic Christians. There's no real distinction between us. But in the end times, when the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, in verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, when that happens, it's going to be a division in Christianity between those who worship him and those who worship him not. They're going to fall away to this specifically. So the Catholic apostasy, the Protestant apostasy, the pre-Catholic apostasy, the Greek Orthodox apostasy, the Pentecostal apostasy, and all that doesn't count. Doesn't count. Because this is an apostasy specifically. Not just the run-of-the-mill heresies that we all come out of, in a sense, you know, that we all live in, or the deception we all know, but a true falling away from serving Christ, which is in heaven, towards serving a God which is on earth, who is not Christ, but the devil in disguise. He will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God, Allah, whatever. He's going to sit in the temple of God, making a show of himself that he is God. That is the abomination of desolation. Him sitting in the temple. And it says in Revelation there's going to be an image to the beast and so on and so forth. And the image is going to cause people to be killed. And, you know, whether that is how you want to interpret that symbolically, it's going to be something along these lines. But it is the words of Christ which will cause us to endure. Remember, Christ can't return until after those events. And as far as the people who are wondering, well, what about the restrainer? Isn't that the church? What a bunch of nonsense. The church doesn't restrain Satan. It doesn't restrain him now. I mean, gee, where do you go to a church? Do you see any sinners? Well, I don't see Satan restrained in the church. That's a joke.